Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, we can do better than that. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
There we go. That sounded perfect. We are so happy that you are here to worship the Lord with us here at Temple Baptist Church. We pray that the Lord has held you fast. Amen. Well, I'm excited about working through our sermon series. We're going through a sermon series called the DNA series. And so here at Temple, we believe that there are certain core values that we have that's part of the life of who we are. What makes up who we are as Temple Baptist Church? Well, there's three core values: gospel, community, and mission. And these three things make up our DNA. If you want to know who we are, if you want to know what we love, what we value, it's found in those three words: gospel, community, and mission. And so my task today is to look at the question, what is biblical community? What is biblical community? That's what I'm hoping to unpack for us here this morning. I believe this is incredibly important because we long for community. I believe that we long for relationships. We want to know and we want to be known. We want to experience a depth and a quality of relationships, a depth and a quality of community that's essential to the core of who we are. I think we really long for this, but I think too often we come up short. I think too often this is not a desire that is satisfied in our lives. We may know of community, but maybe we don't have a true, deep, rich sense of what community really is. This side of Eden, this side of the fall, it's because man and God are at odds. We've been separated from God because of sin. And because of sin's curse, we are not fully enjoying what we are meant to, in having rich fellowship, rich community. And so today, I pray that our sermon today, our lesson today, would help us enjoy or see for the first time what community really and truly is. You know, we live in a time where you can easily withdraw from any relationship, really. We have the opportunity to withdraw from any relationship that we really want to. You know, if you have some neighbors that may be not so good of neighbors, you can just get up and go. For some of us, we may have some colleagues that they may be annoying. Well, you can leave that job and go hunt for another job. And unfortunately today, we may think of church as a church or a body or a people that ceases to please us, and so I'll just leave this one, I'll go shop for another one. We also live in a time where we can easily leave our marriages. If there is trouble in our marriage, why persevere when we can just easily get a divorce? So for some of us who have adult children, or for some of us who have adult children that may be fed up with us, we can cease those relationships. If we really wanted to, we don't have to maintain any relationship today other than the ones that we want to maintain. We can easily discard relationships today, and yet we're in a dilemma. That dilemma is that yet we still long for community. We long for relationships. We long for relationships to be rich, deep, and intimate. When I think about this longing of relationships, a TV show comes to my mind, the TV show Cheers. So Cheers is a show back in my day. Many of you probably have not watch Cheers, and some of you have, but Cheers is based off a bar in Boston, and so every episode is in this bar in Boston, and in this bar, you see community happen. You see friendships happen, and you get to laugh and enjoy with them this community that you get to see each week. Well, this sitcom had an interesting theme song. Words that I thought would be so appropriate for today. In that theme song in Cheers, the lyrics go like this. It says, making your way in the world today, takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries, it sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see the troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know the people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Isn't that true? Isn't that the case? We want to be in a community. We want to be with people who know us. And we want to be in a place where we really know others, where they know us not on a superficial level, but they know us by name. They know us, they know our family, they know our troubles, they know our joys, they know us, they really know us. We want to be where we are known and where we are able to know others. It's true that you want to be where everybody knows who you are. But I want to tell you, what you're looking for, what you're longing for, it's not found in a bar. In fact, it's not found anywhere on the earth except for Jesus Christ and in him alone. If you really want to know community, you want to know what you're really longing for, what you're seeking after, I'm telling you, what you're looking for is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Christ and in his church. Here's what biblical community is. Biblical community is a community found in restored community with God, and then through God with his people. Biblical community is found in restored community with God, and then through God with his people. And I want to unpack this idea for us here, and I want to do three things with you. I want to look at 3 points, three steps. And so the first of point that I want to establish is this. Number one, you are made for community. You are made for community. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the very first chapter of the Bible, in verse 27, God's word says this about us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. When God made man, when he made you, he's designed you in such a way that you would reflect him, that you would image him. In another verse, we see that we are made in the likeness of God. So what's interesting is that if you want to know something about God, look at man. In the way that God has made man, if you look at the neighbor next to you, you find out something about God. On the other hand, if you want to know a little bit more about yourself, about who man is, look at the word of God. Look at the nature of God. Look at the being of God, and you'll see something about who we are and what we were meant to be. Because God has made us in his likeness. God has made us in his image. And the next question is this. Well, who is God? Who is this God who's made us in his likeness, made us in his image? When you look at the God we see at the God of Scripture, we see in Deuteronomy 6, God is one. God is one God. And yet, in the unfolding plan and word of God, we see that God is three in person, just as we sang a while ago. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. Interesting. How is God love? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there exists within the nature and being of God community. Community. And in this community is perfect love. Complete, sufficient community. God is completely sufficient in himself. So much so that he needs nothing outside of himself. So here's a rude awakening. God does not need you. God does not need me. He did not need to create us because he lacked something within himself. No, he's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, sufficiently indwelling within himself, perfect and complete love, not needing anything outside of himself. But why did he make man? Why did he make man in his image, in his likeness? It's out of his generosity. It's out of his benevolence. It's out of his goodness that God would create. Out of his glory that God would make man like himself, in his likeness, in his image. And when you look at the nature of God, and you see Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we see community. We see a relational God. And when you look at man, who images God, who reflects God in his likeness, you see man is made for relationships. We're relational creatures. We're made to have community. We're made to experience harmony with one another. We're made for each other. That's how God designs us. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find God in relationship with man, and man in relationship with God, man in relationship, Adam and Eve, with one another, and there exists perfect harmony in the beginning, perfect community, the way God has designed it to be. But as we further read, we know that that doesn't last long. Man rebels against God, and the result is catastrophic. There is a separation between man and God now. Now God and man, they're at odds with each other. And the harmony that we should have with one another is diminished. Now it's corrupted. The community that we were meant to have is no more as it should be. Now, the image of God and man still exists. It's not completely done away with. And we know what it's like to taste of community and of good, the goodness of community. But at best, this side of Eden, at best in a fallen world, all of our best relationships are even difficult. Wouldn't you say? Your closest friendships, your marriages, your closest buddies at work, every relationship is at best difficult. We got to work at it. That's at best. But at worst, relationships can even be painful. People that should have loved us most, protected us most, communities, the church where you should find pristine love, they let you down. They disappoint you. People can injure us in the most significant life-altering ways in community. You see, we were made for unhindered, wonderful, beautiful community with God, in harmonious, wonderful, deep, rich community with one another. But because of sin, because of the fall, because of the curse, our world is turned upside down, and it's been corrupted. You know, one of the stories that comes to my mind, oddly enough, is the story of Pinocchio. And if you remember the story of Pinocchio, you would remember that the story of Pinocchio is about a wooden doll. A wooden doll who is animated, and he wants two things. He gets lost in the story, and he wants to be reunited with his father, and he wants to become a real-life boy. Listen, because of the fall, we're hollow men and women. We're like a wooden doll. And what is a longing that we have within us is a reunification with our Heavenly Father. We long to become real, to become real life boys and girls, to experience life like the way we were meant to be. And we may not be able to articulate it like this, but that longing that we need, it can be found. It can be found in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the good news, is that God has done something for us so that we can be restored to community with God, so that we can be restored to the harmonious relationships that we were meant to enjoy, that we were meant to have. That's what we find in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, a call of the gospel, a call to repentance and faith in Jesus, is a call to come back into right relationship, back into right standing with God. See, sometimes we think about the gospel as merely a saving from something, and that which it is, right? Jesus takes care of our wrath upon the cross. There is no more anger. There's no more displeasure, disfavor on me once I come to faith in Christ, because it's satisfied on Jesus, and now God welcomes me to himself. But the good news doesn't end there. It's also a saving unto something. We're saved from wrath, from judgment, but unto a right relationship with God. I think John Piper gets it right with one of his book titles. He says, hey, God is the gospel. Communion with God, restoration with God, fellowship with God is the gospel. And that's what we're called to in this new life. It's a shared life with God. It's a shared life with God. And as we share life with God, we also find we get to share life anew with one another. Secondly, community is found in a shared life with God. Community is found in a shared life with God. Let me demonstrate. If you look at John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, here's what we find in the Word of God. This, by the way, is a couple of verses of Jesus praying his high priestly prayer. He's given his final discourse. He's saying the last words here in John chapter 17, which is a prayer to the Father, right before his betrayal, right before his death and crucifixion and his resurrection. And one of the things that Jesus says here is completely helpful for our message here today. In verses 20 and 21, the Word of God reads as follows. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's praying for the apostles, but he's also praying for you and me here. Verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus Christ is praying here. He's praying to the Father. And what he's about to accomplish, which is this very thing that he's asking, he prays for. He says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, now I pray for them that they would be in us. Amazing. This is amazing. And here's the thing I think to unlocking true biblical community and the glories and riches of community. It's understanding the Trinity. And here's why. Well, first, let me say, Roderick Layup, he would caution us to not bother with knowing the Trinity. He says this. He says, many Christians view the Trinity as a riddle wrapped up in a puzzle and buried in an enigma. So why would you bother in trying to understand this most complicated concepts? Well, one, we're looking at the nature of God. And God in his being is, yes, entirely complex, but yet he's revealed himself. He's made himself known, not just in the incarnation, Jesus putting on flesh, the second member of the Trinity, but Jesus also fulfilling the work so that the Spirit would come and reveal to us the glory of God. But here's what you learn about the Trinity in this passage. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. In this section, we also see the Holy Spirit is not the Father nor the Son either. Each person is unique in this one being God. And yet they don't lose their personhood while having full, complete, glorious unity. The unity is so wonderful that when Philip the apostle asks, Jesus, show me the Father, and that'll be enough for me. That'll be enough for us. Show us the Father. And Jesus says, Philip, have I not been with you this long and you don't know me? You don't know that it's me? Now, he's not saying I am the Father. He's saying that I and the Father are so much one that when you see me, you see the Father. Now, consider the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. Here's what's beautiful about salvation. The Holy Spirit takes the redemption of Jesus Christ, accomplished at the cross, his saving work, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives, really. He comes to us, and God himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to make his indwelling within each believer. God indwelling you in the person of the Holy Spirit. But to have the Holy Spirit, is to have Christ, is to have the Word of God, the Father, a dwelling and abiding in you. How could that be? Because the Father and the Son abide in the Spirit, and the Spirit abides in the Father and the Son, and now God has come to make his abode in you. And once you have the person of the Spirit, you have the glories of each member of the Trinity. Now here's the thing. The more that we grow in the likeness of Christ, the more that we grow in the love of Jesus Christ, the more we reflect him, and it should be this that's said of us. I don't know about those guys at Temple, but every time he or she comes around, I see the love of God. I see the love of Christ. Now, it's not automatic. It's progressive. Each day, we continually grow in the likeness of God by his grace through his word, through the mutual edification that we have from one another. But it looks like this. How many of you guys have ever seen a little kid or a toddler put on their father's clothes or their mother's clothes? Anybody seen that before? It's cute, right? You have maybe a little girl, she has her mom's shoes on, and she has a big dress on, or you see a little boy with his dad's shoes, and he has these big baggy clothes, and he's walking around. It's awesome. But here's the thing. That little boy, that little girl, they're going to grow up. And they're going to grow up and fill those shoes. They're going to fit those clothes. Dear Christian, here's what God does for us and in us. He clothes us with the righteous robe of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that you have, it's an alien righteousness. It's righteousness that is given to you. It's clothed you by Jesus Christ. That's what we receive when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You have his righteousness, but we're not really that righteous until we start to grow in Christ. The righteousness that's applied to my account becomes real part of my life as I grow up and mature in Christ. And that's what every believer is doing each and every day. They grow up into the likeness of Christ so that they fit those righteous robes. And that happens until the glorious day when the Lord returns and there's no more growing up into the righteousness of Christ. We have new glorified bodies where we enjoy the presence of God, our Father, and we enjoy the presence of every believer mature, fully matured, and brought to full maturity in Christ Jesus. And as we share in this new life with God, we're also called to share in this new life with one another. If that were not enough, I think we can just end here and go home. But the good news gets better. God is not finished with his restoration project. Yes, he comes to save us and to make us new and to say, I'm going to bring you into my life so that you would share new life with me. But now I'm going to give you new life so that you would have the newness of life shared with one another. See, a call to Christ is a call to share in the newness of life with him. It's also a call to share in new life with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we see this. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. My dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have been baptized of God, if you are in Christ, and if Christ is in you through the person of the Spirit, then you are also baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a body. He is the head and we are the body. Together we are the members. And to be called into new life with God is to be called in new life with one another. That's why it's a contradiction to say you're a Christian and to not be a part of a local church. It's absurd. It cannot be. Biblically, it doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. A call to new life in Christ is a call to life together. And that's what has drawn you here. That's what compels you to say, I do need to be with people who are following the Lord. I need new relationships who love God and who's going to encourage me to love one another. That's the wonderful thing about what God is doing in and through Temple Baptist Church. He is at work in bringing a people to himself and for his name, for his glory. He is at work in and through us. In our relationships with one another, it should confound the world because of our love, because of this new ethic in which the Lord gives unto us, of what we read about in the scripture. Now, you may be saying, you know, Julian, I hear you, and I'm tracking with you, makes sense, but you don't know how I've been hurt. You don't know that I've opened myself up to somebody before. I've opened myself up to a friend, someone I loved, a church even, and I got pretty burned. I got pretty hurt. And it's hard for me to trust. It's hard for me to open myself. It's hard for me to invest in deep, close community. I understand. I know that happens to many of us. Some of us that are here, maybe we are the ones who did the injury. We've hurt somebody bad that was close to us. We've hurt somebody who shared at one time close community with us. I want to let you know that what we find in the God of the Scripture is a God who forgives, a God who heals, a God who takes those wounds and mends them. God is the only one who can deal with that ache in your heart, the brokenness within. God is the only one that can help you to trust again, to remind you that you can hope again, to remind you to say, I'm ready to come back in into community. God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all healing. And I want to let you know, he is powerful enough to heal. He's powerful enough not only to save, but he's also powerful enough to bring about real change so that real community can happen. Both its breadth and its depth, its richness and his glory, it's available for us in Christ Jesus. If you follow the Lord Jesus, then maybe you have come across his words before. Do you remember how he teaches us how to pray? When the Lord teaches his disciples how to pray, one of the most powerful lines in that prayer is incredibly helpful for us as we think about community. He says this, he says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In another translation, "Forgive us, Lord, our debts as we forgive our debtors." And what you find in that is what we need to help us move into community. We're saying, "Lord, I realize before you I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness." And thankfully, the Lord is abundantly merciful, abundantly kind, and gracious, and able to forgive us. And that forgiveness that the Lord extends to us changes us so that we can forgive others. So I want to tell you, if it's hard to move into community, reflect upon the goodness and kindness of God, his forgiveness to you. And let that free you up. Let that loose you up so that you can commit yourself to community. In that prayer, we see that it's not individualistic. It's not forgive me so that I can forgive. It's forgive us so that we can forgive. It's in the plural. It's the song of the congregation. It's the mark. It's the DNA that we should have as a group, as a church. It's, Lord, forgive us. That's the song that we sing as Christians. That's the song we want to sing as Temple Baptist Church. Forgive us so that we can forgive. Because now we share life in you, and we share life with one another. And that's the only way that we can make it in this fallen world. We need to be able to forgive and to trust in the forgiveness of God for us. Well, how shall we now live? If I am made for community, and if true community is found in Christ, and it's found in the church, how shall we now live? Well, I want to encourage you to take a step this morning. I want you to take a step and grow in community today. And here's the thing. I want everybody that's here, everyone at the sound of my voice, I want you to think about what is a step that you can take here this morning? What's a step that you can particularly take here this morning? I have four people in mind that I want to suggest to you in taking a step so that you can grow in community today. First, if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't know what it means to share new life with God, then your first step, your next step that I want you to take is to come and enjoy community with God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. Find that in Him there's no longer enmity between you and God, but restored fellowship. Take a step and enjoy the sweet communion, the sweet fellowship that's offered to us in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are a believer, but you're not a church member, you're not a part of a local church, maybe the step for you is this, that you would pursue membership in a local church. When the Lord calls us to Himself, it's not a call to anonymity. It's not a call to be part of a crowd, but it's a call to be in a committed relationship, a covenant relationship with a body of people. And I know commitment and covenants, it's not part of our vernacular today. And in fact, we have an estrangement to it. We don't like it. But listen, when the Lord comes and makes a covenant with us, He commits Himself to us. In Jesus, we find the new covenant whereby He's committed to us. And here's the thing, if you want to experience a depth and a richness of any relationship, it requires commitment. It requires perseverance. It requires a declaration to say, I am committed to you. That's the only way for us to enjoy the quality of community that awaits us in Jesus Christ. The Lord loves His bride so much so that He gives up His life for her. He models that for us, and He calls us to share in that with a local congregation. Now, here in this service, we have a corporate service where we experience and realize the means of grace. The Word of God goes forth. We get the chance to sing and to confess and to give and to partake in the ordinances, the Lord's Supper, baptism. And that's one level. That's one experience that we share in as a church. But to grow in community, we have to transcend that and go into even smaller groups. Because when we get the chance to really spend time with each other and enjoy relationships with one another, that's where we get to really experience community on another level. And so there's two opportunities to enjoy a smaller group here at Temple. You can join a Sunday school class, or you can join a small group. And tonight, we're going to launch our small groups, and there's still an opportunity for you to be a part. You can see someone at the Welcome Center, and they would love to sign you up. But it's there in those small groups where we get to pray for one another, where we get to know one another, where people get to know us. It's there in those small groups where we get the chance to minister to our brothers and sisters as we share the Word of God with them, but also they get to share the Word of God with us. They get to bless us and minister to our souls. That is what God has designed for us in biblical community, that the Lord would take care of our needs and reveal truly His love to us in and through His people. Lastly, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, part of a local church, and if you are part of a small group, praise God. Maybe the next step for you is to go a step further. Maybe befriend somebody who's not a part of Temple just yet, or maybe mentor somebody so that you can help them in this season of life. Maybe it's a difficult season of life. There's yet another level of richness and of depth in community when we really hold each other accountable, when we really help each other grow in taking that next step in Christ. And so I just want to offer that to all of you here this morning as you are thinking about, how do I grow in Christ? How do I grow in community? I want to encourage you to take that next step, whatever it may be for you. So what is biblical community? Biblical community is community found in restored community with God, and then through God with His people. And it is only in community that we're going to be able to see that I get the most out of God when I'm engaging with you, God's people. And as I engage in you, we bring out the best and the most of us that God has intended for us to enjoy with one another in community. I think C.S. Lewis, he was incredibly helpful for me in understanding this nuance of community. Incredibly insightful as he's talking about friendship. He has a book called The Four Loves, and as he's dealing with the four loves, he's talking about friendship. And he says, you know, I have two friends. One friend, his name is Charles. Another friend that I have, his name is Ronald. And they would get together and they would enjoy just the best of times. I have to go back to kindergarten for me to remember my best friend. But I remember bus rides home and enjoying just the sweetness of time with my best friend. And I think that's what Lewis shared with Charles and Ronald. But one day, Charles had passed away. And as Charles passes away, well, it was definitely sad for Ronald and C.S. Lewis, but C.S. Lewis thought, I guess now as I spend more time with Ronald, I'll have more of Ronald since Charles is not there. But you know what he found out? He found out that he did not have necessarily more of Ronald, but actually it was less. And here's why. Because Charles, with his personality, would crack a joke and get a reaction out of Ronald in the way only Charles could. And for C.S. Lewis, he realized then at that moment that I don't have more of Ronald, I actually have less. Because when Charles was around, he brought out something that only he could give to me through this community. C.S. Lewis further thought, and he says, in the same way, when we share in community with God and with one another, God is bringing something out of us for the community that only God can provide. And as he brings us together, as we interact with one another in Christian community, Christian fellowship, we're going to find that it takes a whole body to bring about something special in the way that each one of us can only do as part of the community. So I just want to encourage you guys to hear this morning as you think about your new life in Christ, the shared community that you have with God. And as you share community with one another, I hope that you see that it's a rich gift, a rich blessing that God has given to us as he calls us together for such a time as this. And while we get the opportunity to love one another in great and awesome ways, we're not a people without a purpose, but we're a people with a mission. Jesus has commissioned us to go and proclaim this good news together, to go and let people see of the love that we have within this community, that the world may know that the Father is a God of love who sent his Son to reveal this love that already exists within the nature and being of God. God is love, and he's called us to this love that we might know love and share this great love with one another. And I hope you take a step in community today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity you've given us to look at your word. Lord, I pray that we would see our need for you, our need for community here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we reflect upon the greatness of who you are, the nature of your being, that we would see, Lord, that only in you do we find what we long for. Only in you do we find the satisfaction of being known and the ability to know. And I pray, Lord, that as we grow in our relationships with the church, our relationships in the small groups and our relationships with friendships that we make here, that we would taste of your love in special ways. I ask of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.